interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, 3rd of October edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch and always on 1037 The Game. Ben Love with a different vantage point. Quite literally. I'll tell you about where I'm positioned today at the Tap Room River Ranch. I think I might just like my new digs even better. The famous Clint D in tow from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. The two of us, we've got you. You'll be in good hands for a full three-hour tour today. Plenty of Saints and LSU. In fact, we'll lead off with a little of both. Raging Cajun influence. We'll go in on high school football. And we'll talk about those Houston Astros. It'll be an orange juice battle, right? The Rays, the Stros, Tropicana, Minute Maid. Oh, we're going to have some fun on a Thursday. But let's lead off with a local product announcing intentions to leave LSU football. Within the last hour and a half, Keenan Jones of Berwick High School tweeted out that he will be entering the transfer portal. Again, that's not always the death nail. Doesn't mean that he's gone pecan, but it means that if there are suitors, yeah, more than likely, that'll be it. And Jones came out of Berwick with a whole lot of fanfare, right? A four-star prospect by a lot of services, a wide receiver here in the area, converted more toward a defensive back and a safety just based out of position scarcity, maybe a bit of a surplus at receiver. You might have noticed they're pretty darn good at that position. With Chase, Jefferson, Marshall, and the list goes on. And so, really, a man without a country position-wise, frankly, is going to be transferring out if he gets the right opportunity. So LSU getting out of the bye week mode, getting back into game week action. They'll take on Utah State this Saturday morning. But I would not expect Keenan Jones to be on the sideline. Again, he has entered the transfer portal. This comes a day after the news that Leonard Fournette, veteran LSU running back and Leonard's little bro, is going to be withdrawing from LSU. In fact, Leonard already off of the LSUSports.net team roster. That hasn't happened yet for Jones. But briefly, before I turn this segment over and we go full on Saints-Bucks talk, take this trip with me. LSU in the secondary this year. We talk about DBU, and yeah, they've given up more yards and points and in a lot of ways, receptions that anybody's happy with. But, boy, the attrition has been unbelievable. And it started off with Kelvin Joseph, Scotlandville Magnet product, second-year player. Got the coveted numero uno jersey for LSU, but he wasn't number one on the depth chart. No, not with Christian Fulton and Derek Stingley Jr. around. And so he transferred out. He's at Kentucky now. Manny Netherly, next in line. The speedster from Crosby, Texas. And now Keenan Jones, who certainly had spent a lot of time with Bill Bush, Corey Raymond, and the DB room. And so while we all look at LSU and think national title contender, I can't believe I'm saying this, but one of the potential Achilles heels, I don't know that it's O-line, as we expected in the preseason, right? In August, the buildup to this year, that was the huge question mark. Well, they've been pretty darn good. Burrow's getting the ball out quickly. That helps them. And now they've got Ed Ingram back. I wonder if it won't be secondary depth. The starters are awfully good, and if Delpit returns to form, a lot of people suggesting that moving Fulton inside to nickelback might just help Delpit to do what he does best in Rome. But I wonder if the depth in the secondary might not become an issue. Again, was Keenan Jones going to help this team be a national title contender? Okay, not on his own, but when you start to add up all these bricks in the walls, those are some talented cats, from Joseph to Netherly to Jones, that are looking for greener pastures. So just something to keep an eye on as LSU undefeated, consensus top five team in the country, but there's some dwindling depth. First at running back, we learned earlier in the week, and now perhaps in the secondary. We'll swap it over to Saints. We know the Bucs coming to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. A lot of fanfare expected. We told you yesterday, Will Smith going to become the sixth man to join the franchise's Ring of Honor. But as far as the on-field stuff, some good sound from Teddy Bridgewater. Saints starting quarterback for the last 2 weeks, and I would imagine at least 3, 4, maybe 5 more. He gave some sound about his excitement to take on these Tampa Bay Bucs.
It's great to be back to work this week. Get a chance to continue to build and keep some of this momentum that we have. Of course, after watching the tape, we found some things that, you know, we can get better at, and we're going to continue to address those areas. But we're excited to come away with the win that we had last week, and we're excited to be moving forward. And we know that we have a tough opponent coming in this week in Tampa, coming off a huge win for themselves. So we understand that, you know, it's going to be a physical game, it's going to be a battle, and it's one that we have to prepare well for.
Clint, 100%, that's a ping-pong game in the background, right?
Yes, that is a ping-pong game going on in the back of the locker room.
I felt good about that assertion, but I'm glad you're on board with me. Let's get more from Teddy Bridgewater. This time, his take on the Bucs defense. They have been much maligned, but I'm sure he'll have respect for them here.
Just having some experience with Todd Bowles last year in New York, I know that it's a complex defense. They do a lot. They give you a lot of looks. So watching the tape, that's exactly what you see. You see a defense that's playing well. They're playing well, stopping the run. They're doing some things up front to give their guys one-on-one matchups with the defensive line linebackers to, you know, get to the quarterback. So we understand that, you know, it's a complex defense, but we want to have a plan to be able to attack them.
What a lot of Saints fans will want to know most, what does Bridgewater think he can improve on most after his first two games filling in for Drew Brees?
For the most part, it's just finishing those drives with touchdowns. We understand that, you know, it's a four-point play when you're down there. You know, you either get a field goal or a touchdown, it's a four-point swing. So it's one of those deals where you just want to have that aggressive mindset, but at the same time, understand that you have points on the board. So, you know, when we get in the red zone, we just want to be more efficient.
We'll keep it moving. Let's shuffle on over to the defensive side, getting ready for Saints v. Bucs coming up Sunday in New Orleans. And coming off clearly his best game of the 2019 season, I'd argue one of his top three or four performances at large since being drafted out of The Ohio State University. Here's Marshawn Lattimore. There's a necessity to stay locked in versus this talented Bucs core.
Just staying locked in, you know, they're not going to guard me every play. So it's just on me to stay locked in. So when they come at me, you know, I'll be right on point. That's how I was doing, you know, this past game. But the past, you know, three, I mean, they're not coming my way. But, you know, they end up catching me when I was slipping, you know, when I was sleeping out there. But, you know, that's when my coach came to me and said, just play every play, you know, one play at a time.
I don't think that young man lacks for any confidence. And I think the Bucs will have his full attention. Not only did Chris Godwin go off for 100-plus yards, 2 receptions last week, the week prior, Lattimore's nemesis, Mike Evans, struck for 3 touchdowns from famous Jameis Winston. Lattimore, Evans, they've been known for a little shenanigans, mostly coming from the Mike Evans camp. I'm sure he'll be captivated for this contest. Let's get one more from a Saints defender, and welcome back Sheldon Rankins. He gives you a little bit of insight here, what it was like his first game back last Sunday night against Dallas.
I did good. Like I said, rusty, you know, as to be expected. And I haven't played a real football game in 8 months, so a little rusty. But the more I played, the more I, you know, felt my way through the rust and, you know, just continue to improve. And I continue to improve each time I'm out there.
Clint, before I introduce our guest list for a Thursday and toss it to our first break, I'm trying to rob you of an opportunity. We talked about it pre-show. Shame on me. You had a good memory and a recent memory of Keenan Jones in an LSU uni. What was that again?
I mean, how can we not forget about the time that he planted the flag after the LSU-Texas game, a la Baker Mayfield afterwards? And then just a couple weeks later, the dude's entering the transfer portal. What is going on in the, over there?
You always hear the phrase, plant your flag. Well, Berwick's finest, Keenan Jones, found a way to do that. As it turns out, that might have been one of his parting shots. Big-time guest on a Thursday. In fact, we'll have a first-timer hopping aboard in about 18 minutes. She is the director of on-campus recruiting for UL Ragin' Cajuns football, Katie Turner, going to join the program at 4:30. Katie spent a lot of time around the Buffalo Bills franchise, so we'll also ask her about Shaq White, a lockdown corner, and, of course, a former LSU Tiger, plus Kyle Williams. After all, the man just officiated a wedding over at Orchard Park. And so excited to welcome Katie Turner aboard at 4:30. At straight up 5 o'clock, we'll talk LSU Fighting Tigers football. Sideline reporter Gordy Rush from 6 to 6:30, Blaine Viator all in on prep football. He's going to give you, nearing the halfway point of the regular season, some of his area MVPs. You won't want to miss it. It's B2BS, and we'll take a quick timeout and then be back with more from the Tap Room River Ranch on...
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
And back into the Tap Room River Ranch, where I have some top shelf advice and maybe even insight. I don't know about analysis, but I can tell you this. We've got Rhythms on the River set to kick off outside within about 42 minutes. But I'll keep it 100 with you. It's awfully hot right now. I would understand if you'd rather come in with us. After all, I'm in a new place today. If you've been here before, I'm near the life-size Scrabble board. I've got my own little deck. It's actually quite plush. I'm sitting in a huge couch. It's awesome. But the reason is there's going to be a doctor's appreciation night here for Our Lady of Lourdes. And so, look, tell the wife, tell the girlfriend, tell whoever. Of course, ladies, you could tell the husband or whoever that you're just going to appreciate doctors. That's what we'll call it while we have a round or two together. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight and late this afternoon at the Tap Room River Ranch. CD, before we launch into our sink or swim question, A's, Rays. It's now set for the ALDS. Of course, we'll carry the whole thing on 103.7 The Game. 105, first pitch tomorrow. Verlander will be on the mound. An evening contest on Saturday. Garrett Cole will take the pill. And game three, we already know that's going to be Zach Greinke. How about this tidbit from Chandler Roman of the Houston Chronicle? And Chandler reported this at 3:40 p.m., so news that's less than 40 minutes old. Brad Peacock, Wade Miley, and Jose Urquidy all said they have not been told their role or even if they'll make the ALDS roster. When Chandler caught up with them, again, this was 40 minutes ago. And according to Chandler Rome, meetings are ongoing as we speak, and they may continue for the next hour or two. Let me translate that for you. A.J. Hinch and the powers that be for the Astros organization for the next few hours will decide on their roster for this series, and then maybe we'll have a little more clarity on who the Game 4 starter will be. Of course, it could always be Verlander if they want to turn him around on fairly short rest. But I found that very interesting. Not only do we not know a Game 4 starter, but the potential candidates don't even know if they'll be on the roster. It'd be like that when you're probably the best team in baseball. All right, let's switch it back over to the football side of things. I'm going in a different direction, CD, but I think our listeners will enjoy it. I know that you will because we talked about it before the show. Let's play the music, and then we'll get to the sink or swim question of the day.
Love, exciting and new.
Let's get right down to it. Outside of your favorite team's head coach, who is your favorite college and pro football coach? So if you love and frequent LSU, the Ragin' Cajuns, the Saints, you can't go with Ogeron, Napier, or Sean Payton. Take them out of the running. I'm just curious who the guys are that, you know what, darn it, I can't help myself. I like them. Sometimes I wish they were coaching my team, or I find myself watching their games. Who is that coach for you? We'll take them on the college and pro level. 706-0111. Clint, please, lead us off.
I think when it comes to the college coaches, for me, if you know me well enough, you know this one is probably accurate. It's Mike Gundy. The dude is an absolute soundbite machine, and add the fact that he is just straight up a guy that you'd probably wind up having a beer with, maybe even at the Tap Room River Ranch. I feel like he's just that kind of guy with all kinds of great sound bites that I can just rattle off for days. In fact, I've got one just real quick one I'll drop for you, and then I'll pass the baton on to you, Ben.
Criticism where? From where?
Outside. Noise.
From where?
Twitter, radio.
Yeah. Oh, I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
That is absolutely tremendous. So I like the answer. Mike Gundy, man who recently, I love reminding people of this, he was bequeathed $33 from T. Boone Pickens to go get his lettuce chopped off. So that's pretty good stuff. Mike Gundy's a good answer. My favorite is no longer on the sideline. So this is more of like a coaching emeritus, right, type of answer. I love Steve Spurrier, and you can't make me stop loving Steve Spurrier. Not just the offensive ingenuity, not just the fact that he would beat you and then kind of was fond of letting you know about it. Again, it didn't hurt that I went to the University of Georgia, and Florida and Georgia share a pretty good hatred of Tennessee. Of course, these days, Tennessee's hating on themselves enough to where they take care of that on their own. But Spurrier, with the endless string of UT knocks, right? You can't spell citrus without UT. Unbelievable, right? And for me, he was always that guy. I found myself rooting for his teams. I found myself rooting for him to turn around South Kakalaka, and of course, he did, leading the Gamecocks to multiple double-digit win seasons, pulling off some of the country's best talent, right? Like Marcus Lattimore, like Jadeveon Clowney, like Alshon Jeffery. Spurrier, for me, has always just kind of been that guy. I will tell you, Clint, that on the professional level, there are a few that I really like. Doug Peterson, who played his college ball up in North Louisiana, the way he conducts his business, I like the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. So Saints came up against the Eagles in the postseason last year. Obviously, I wasn't rooting for them over Houdat Nation, but Doug Peterson's a guy I like, and this is cheating, but I like Andy Reid during the regular season, right? Is that the ultimate fence-sitting answer? I'll take 10, 11, maybe 12 wins a regular season, and then I'll just take my chances. That's almost kind of like saying, I want you to represent me as an attorney almost right up until, like, the point of sentencing. right up until the closing arguments, basically. I would like Andy Reid to represent me in a court of law. If a court of law were a football field. How do you feel about that?
I like that one a lot. I like the fact that you're having Andy Reid in there, and I almost feel like you're just kind of poking a little fun at the fact that Andy Reid just hasn't necessarily been able to get it done in the postseason. Mind you, I feel like they could wind up changing sooner rather than later. But when it comes to my pro coach, Ben, I'm going to go with Sean McVay, the young guy. But I think the biggest reason why for me, Ben, is the fact that he's so cerebral. He's got a damn near photographic memory when it comes to remembering every single play he's seen as a head coach, offensive coordinator, what have you. The guy is unreal how smart he is just as a coach.
Yeah, McVay is starting to break the mold a little bit. And if you watch the Saints-Cowboys game Sunday night, or if you listen to it here on 103.7 The Game, you know what I'm talking about. And a former Boise State quarterback is now the 31-year-old offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about Kellen Moore. He is the youngest coordinator in the history of the National Football League, except for your guy, CD, Sean McVay. And so it's a good selection on your part, going with a guy who's not only really good at his job, but also is a trendsetter and kind of enables things for the next generation of coaches. It's a slick pick on your part. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Hopefully you chew on this question for a little bit. We're getting some response on social media. As time permits later in the hour, I'll catch you up on that. We'll take more of your phone calls on it, but there's a lot more than just our questions. And then at some point down the road, your answers. We got a great guest. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Katie Turner, Director of On-Campus Recruiting for the UL Ragin' Cajuns. Just how big is this UL App State game? How do you get butts in the seats? And more importantly, from her perspective, this number one recruiting class in the Sun Belt, how are they immediately contributing? Maybe as compared to what the program expected in August leading into the year. I'm excited to catch up with Katie Turner. We'll do that on the other side of this break. Gordy Rush at straight up 5 o'clock from the other side of the basin. his make on Jordan Love, the Utah State Aggies, and how LSU's defense stacks up. And then all things prep sports with Blaine Viator at straight up 6 o'clock. One other agenda item for a Thursday. I want to get ready for huge Thursday night football implications with the Rams at the Seahawks. And I'll give you this stat. Cousin Dino didn't give you this yesterday, that dog. The Seahawks are 25-5-1 in their last 31 appearances in prime time. That's Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. If your boy, CD Sean McVay, takes a second straight loss, the NFC is going to start to look a lot different. All right, we'll be right back in talking Raging Cajuns. On the other side, a brief timeout, then we'll be back to the Tap Room River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Back into the Taproom River Ranch, and fired up about a first-timer on the program, it's the right time to get her with a huge Cajuns App State ball game coming up within a week. So quickly, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. She is the Director of On-Campus Recruiting for the UL Raging Cajuns football program. Katie Turner is our guest. Katie, it really is wonderful to have you. How are you today?
Bane, I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, life is good here. I think it's going to get a little better leading up to this game Wednesday. What's the buzz been like inside that UL football bubble?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I think the boys are all starting to buy in, and it feels good to be winning. And I think, they have a good level of confidence, not too confident, but, walking around just feeling prepared. We've been saying something around the building. We've been saying, what's next? Who's next? So try not to get in our heads too much about playing App State and, try not to. I know we're hyping up the game a lot. Like, we want a lot of attendance, but we're trying not to psych ourselves out for it, just put our heads down, get to work. So it's been fun. It's a good vibe around the office, that's for sure.
You're so involved in the day-to-day operations of that program. And so, along with that kind of mentality you shared, Katie, how has the team approached having a little extra time leading up to this game with the Mountaineers, knowing that it's really a week and a half?
Yeah, so I think, Coach Andrew and then the assistant coaches, they've done a really good job at kind of strategically figuring out that extra time because, a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's a good thing. You have a few extra days to practice against this team. And it is, but it's a fine line. You don't want to wear the team out. So you've got to kind of find like a happy medium between, putting in 100%, going 110%, full speed practice type of days and balancing it out with more of like, film work, maybe meetings type of deal and give them a day off. They'll have off tomorrow because it's fall break for the students. So fall break is today and tomorrow. So, they're here today. We're doing walkthrough, but tomorrow they'll have off. So it's kind of a fine line, but I think the coaches have done a really good job, strategically figuring that all out.
Katie Turner with Raging Cajuns Football, our guest on 103.7 The Game. From your perspective, Katie, again, you're hands-on with recruiting. Tell me a little bit about the blueprint and the ability to get these kids on campus that, just frankly speaking, this program hasn't always gotten, and the ability to get in there, really compete, and reel in 3 and 4 stars. How have you turned that into fruition?
Well, so I think a lot of it is geography. I mean, we are in a really great position. Lafayette, we can really, we like to work inside out. So we'll start locally and work our way out. We have a 6-hour recruiting radius that we work in, but, we're able to kind of go out towards New Orleans and really cover all of Louisiana. We'll go up to, North Louisiana, and then we even make our way into Texas and Mississippi. So it's easy for kids to drive over. It's 2 hours, 2.5 from New Orleans. It's only 3 or 4 from Mississippi. So it's easy to get the kids on campus. I think the biggest blueprint is we urge them to come. We recruit, right? So you recruit them to come here because a lot of them, even local Louisiana kids, they don't know, like, what's right in their backyard. They don't understand this gorgeous football facility we have with, you know, this large team meeting room and an incredible weight room and indoor. And so a lot of them just don't know what's right here. So our biggest thing is getting them on campus. I mean, that goes back to, you know, the assistant coaches recruiting them, telling them to come here. You know, and all we ask is, like, give us, you know, a few hours of your day. You know, come see us. Come check it out. And then I think, like, honestly, you know, beyond that, it really goes back to kind of the character and the feel of our coaches and coaching staff. And that all starts with Coach Napier at the top. You know, if anyone has heard him speak on the radio or seen him, you know, in press conferences or has been able to meet him, I think he's just a very genuine guy, like very consistent. He's always, you know, what you see is kind of what you get. He's always the same. He's not really up. He's not really down, you know. So I think that the players and recruits that get to know him kind of realize, like, he's just real. He's genuine. You know, like, he cares about the players on the field, off the field. And that's something that, you know, all of our coaches do a really good job with. So I think just being genuine, you know, sometimes this recruiting, you know, you don't want to recruit them here and then you don't want to give them empty promises, right? So I think we do a good job at selling what we have, and we're not, like, lying to them. We're not you know, there's no empty promises, I guess. So, yeah, I think that's a big reason.
How, Katie, would you look at the way this freshman class has performed so far? Obviously, the tops in the Sun Belt, and not just coming in as true freshmen, but I should include within that the other members of the signing class, right? So transfers that have come in, JUCO kids. How do you think they performed in year one, maybe based off what was expected?
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job. A lot of them have been able to see action on the field. You know, I think that there may have been even a few of them where we initially thought, you know, they'll probably redshirt their freshman year, and here they are, like, making a really big impact in games. So I think a lot of them have just, you know, they've come in. I would say that the team, especially this year, like, after every year, the team kind of has a different attitude, right? They have a different, we like to call it identity. So, like, in January, the new team comes back, the seniors graduate, you know, so there's a new identity to the team. And I think our team is just kind of, like, drinking the Kool-Aid. They're buying in, they've bought in, and they're sharing that. It's trickling down to the freshmen. So these freshmen, you know, they're buying in, and everyone kind of has that next man up mentality. I mean, I know Coach Napier has talked about, you know, everyone's just got to be ready. You know, just never know. And, like, the starting wide receiver, you know, could go down type of deal. So I think everyone just kind of has that next man up mentality. And so, you know, for the freshmen that have come in and made an impact, it's exciting for them. And I think the freshmen that, you know, are kind of, they've got to wait their turn, but, you know, they're working hard when no one else is watching. So it's exciting to see.
How much have the two games against App State, both of them obviously last year in Boone, North Carolina, how much, Katie, have those games come up during this week in the building?
Gosh. Well, they've come up, but, you know, I don't really think we're harping on it. I think it's more of last year they were both close games, and they were games that we could have won and that we let slip by us. You know, so it's not like you don't want to reflect too much on the past, but you do want them to realize, like, you know, we lost those games by like 10 points. So this year we're excited for home field advantage, and we're excited for them to come back, travel to us this time and win, because, you know, I think that if the guys watch the film from last year, you know, they're making their corrections. So just kind of taking last year as a lesson, going, you know, moving forward and being able to apply it to this game. But yeah, I would say it's come up and, you know, they're using it for motivation, but, like I said, they're just kind of treating every week like, you know, who's next? Who can we, you know, work on beating next week? That's how they feel, honestly.
We're having fun talking with Katie Turner. She is the UL Director of On-Campus Recruiting, and a potential statement win type of game is coming up next Wednesday. Cajuns hosting App State. Before coming here, you spent a lot of time, I know, in Buffalo, New York. And so for our listeners that remember Tre'Davious White fondly, hey, the first time you and I met, Katie, we were talking about that young man. How would you describe the type of professional he's become?
Yeah, so I interned with the Buffalo Bills, but, you know, I'm from there, born and raised in Buffalo. Had an opportunity to intern with the Bills for 2 years. I was working in the front office, but my last season there was his first as a rookie. So it was exciting to kind of see, like, he transitioned, I think, very easily. I think he had a good presence in the locker room immediately. I mean, he immediately became a fan favorite, I think, due to his personality. But, of course, his on-the-field production really helps. I mean, he is, like, a lights-out corner. So, you know, he's been able to really he's gained, like, such a cult following up in Buffalo. They love him. They absolutely adore him. I know the Bills social media, like, if you follow them on Twitter or Instagram, they are always posting videos and pictures of him because, you know, the fans just love him. So, it was cool to kind of get to see that. But it was exciting. I didn't really, like, know him or anything like that, just kind of watched from afar, but it was cool to see. I mean, he was our first-round draft pick, number 27. So, yeah, he's awesome.
So, Katie, I'm assuming your friends and family got a big kick out of Powell Williams officiating a wedding last week in Orchard Park?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if people in Louisiana saw that, but that was something the Buffalo Bills, they did. It was a contest. It was like a giveaway. You know, they promoted it before the season, before preseason even began, and they said, you know, halftime of the Bills-Patriots game, you know, you can have your wedding here at one, you know, at New Era Field, whatever. And so I didn't even realize, like, they had Jim Kelly walk the bride down the aisle. They had Hall of Famers, like Marv Levy was there. Daryl Talley was like a groomsman. I mean, they had like these Hall of Fame, like 90s Bills, and then Kyle Williams was officiating it. I was like that, you know, honestly, it was very well done. So I thought that was a really neat concept.
Just a cool story.
You know, Katie, Kyle Williams. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, Kyle Williams, I don't know if you saw, but he actually came and spoke to the Cajuns this summer.
I tell you what, mm-hmm. On your way out, give us a little bit about what that was like. I mean, a former Ruston legend, obviously went to LSU, but, I mean, just renowned across this state. So, you know, what was that like for the team?
Yeah, I think someone where he had such an impact, just, you know, a lot of these guys knew who he was, obviously being Louisiana native, LSU alum, and then being in the league for so many years, he already had such an aura about him when he walked in. I remember looking at the players, and all of their eyes were locked in on him. They were all in the zone. You know, no one was, like, snoozing off or anything like that. You know, it was just everyone was so it was just awesome. They were just, like, so admiring of him. But he did a really good job. He kind of talked about his time as a high school football player, and when he realized, like, he had to kind of flip the switch and he started to become he started to take his football studies super seriously. You know, he knew he wasn't the biggest or the longest out there, and so he knew that he had an advantage with his mind, and so he started studying film. And so he kind of talked about that, like, you know, how he had a chip on his shoulder, and I think a lot of the players really, that resonated with them. They loved that. So it was awesome. It was really cool to hear from him.
We've been talking with Katie Turner, and a great job. This has been fun. I got to tell you this on the way out. I know that the players continue to do their Katie Turner impressions on Twitter. So just know that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And take that, I think, is a good thing, right?
Thank you. Yeah, they're funny. They're really funny. They love giving me a hard time. So they're fun, though. Love working here.
Katie, good luck next Wednesday, the rest of the season. Thank we'll be you. Seeing you out there at Cajun Field.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Gotta love it. I mean, experience with the Buffalo Bills, and then the last couple of years, a pretty integral part of Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns' recruiting efforts. I can tell you, it's not an easy job, right? I mean, you are the face kind of recruiting when the kids come in, the first point of contact a lot of times. You're not just involved with the recruiting, but as I mentioned, some of the day-to-day stuff as well. Game day, shepherding some of these kids around, it's not an easy job. But I tell you, they're starting to really stockpile a lot of impressive kids in this recruiting class of 2020. They're coming off a very impressive group in 2019, and it's certainly impacting what they do on the field. All right, we've got to take our final break of the hour. When we return, we'll take your calls. and then a little bit of MLB playoffs talk. We know the Astros' opponent. We'll start to break it down. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in after a quick timeout to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
They have to do so many different things, you know, whether it's the being on the leading edge of the opener concept to, you know, being willing to do. I mean, Kevin Cash will do anything in a game. He's one of the most unpredictable managers that I manage against. You know, it's they've been amazing at the success that they've had. They play in a big boy division over in the AL East, and they don't back down from the bigger markets and the higher payrolls. They they're bold in their decision making. They do make players better, and they win. So the bottom line is they win.
Astros manager A.J. Hinch on the Astros' opponent. We now know who it is in the ALDS after last night's win on the road in Oakland. It'll be the Tampa Bay Rays. I do want to tip my cap. Katie Turner, fantastic on the other side. It was great to talk Raging Cajuns. You want to respond to that? Anything you heard in our opening hour so far, hit us up at 706-0111. But Clint, while we wait on calls and while we have some time, let's react now. I thought this was the better fit for the Astros. And when I say that, I mean the better opportunity for the Astros to, you know, keep on winning, get to the ALCS and ultimately the World Series. Charlie Morton has now been burnt up. The Astros aren't going to have to face off against their former pitcher for at least games 1 and 2, you would imagine. I think this whole thing is set up very well for Houston. Having said that, I agree with Hinch, and I agree with what we've been told just about all season long when we have on some of our best guests from around Major League Baseball, namely Richard Justice. This Rays team is for real, so it's a formidable opponent, but boy, do I like the Astros' chances.
I like the Astros' chances as well, but it's all about what they do on the road against the Rays. Because you remember, that's how they started off the 2019 season, on the road in the juice box, and they came out 1-3 to start the year against the Rays on the road. They need to turn that around in that crucial Game 3. Zach Greinke is going to have to step his game up, needless to say.
And that could potentially be Greinke, and I would imagine it would be Greinke v. Morton. So,
yep.
Basically, the guy that the Astros traded for this year, right in the middle of the season, against the guy that the Astros traded for before last season. So there's a lot of intrigue with this one. I think there's a really, really good chance that the Astros take care of this one in 3 or 4 games. In fact, I'll go on a limb right now and say 4, but I'll remind our listeners of what we reported. Let me back that up. What Chandler Rome reported and I relayed to you earlier this hour. Potential Game 4 starters, Brad Peacock, Wade Miley, Jose Urquidy. Not only have they not been informed if they'll start a potential Game 4, Clint, they haven't even been told they've made the ALDS roster yet. So these are the most first world problems I think a team can have in the show right now. And the Astros, I think, lucky to have these type of problems.
Exactly. It's definitely the only thing you're having to worry about is which one of your guys is going to be sitting at home. I feel like you can wind up saying right here, right now, it could be Urquidy based off of what he did last week and how Wade Miley has kind of fallen off a little bit late in the season. Has a good overall record, but has fallen off late in the season, a lot of no decisions. I think they wind up going with Urquidy, and maybe we see Wade Miley on the outside looking in.
You know what's interesting, too? As you heard Hinch say in the intro there, this has been an innovative ball club, the Rays, in the way of the opening pitcher, right? Or the opener. I wonder, in a twist of irony, if the Astros don't decide to go opener in a potential Game 4. So really, there are a lot of ways this thing can play out. What I know is this. The Astros have home field advantage. They've got an offense that's only getting stronger. In fact, I'll make sure to get this soundbite in before we run out of time. A.J. Hinch did give an update on shortstop Carlos Correa, and the news there, it's nothing but positive.
He's ready to go. He was very antsy at the end of the Anaheim series to do a little bit more and to test himself a little bit. The danger in that is if you do too much too soon and you have a setback, then it's bad news. There's no margin for error. The work that he did on Monday, the off day, the Tuesday volunteer workout day, the Wednesday mandatory workout day into today gives me no concern that he's going to be able to post tomorrow.
So there you go. Air Yordan continuing to do rookie of the year things, elite power. You've got Alex Bregman, potential MVP, starting to power this thing, a former MVP and Jose Altuve. Just so many things lining up right now. And while we talk about the football teams we frequent, the Cajuns, LSU, the Saints, staying healthy, getting healthy, you can knock on all the wood you need to find, Astros fans, but right now this is a healthy club. And they'll take on a Rays team that'll be without their ace in the starter, as a starter, I should say, tomorrow afternoon. That is nothing but good news. We'll talk a little more Astros, Rays later in the program. Don't forget, in 5 minutes, Gordy Rush will join us to talk LSU football. But before we get there, let's finish up here in hour number one with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Chop. Yeah, the tomahawk chop. The Braves have already gotten out to a 1-0 lead at SunTrust Park, so we do have some NLDS action going on right now in the ATL. 1-0 Braves over the Cardinals. Yeah, they're doing the tomahawk chop. They're probably drinking some tomahawk ale. But I don't think my St. Louis Cardinals are done scrapping just yet. At least I wouldn't bet on that. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They are your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're 1/3 of the way home ourselves on a Thursday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back in to the Taproom River Ranch. And, of course, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Aaron Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now
let's get started. Right back into the Taproom River Ranch and rolling with our second of 3 hours. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. October. Yeah, on the calendar, maybe June or July in weather. Hopefully you're surviving it out there on the roads. Let's hit the road ourselves. Over to Baton Rouge and aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Time to bring back LSU football sideline reporter Gordy Rush. G-Man, you sweating over there in BR?
Yeah, I'm actually over in Biloxi. Hester and I are about to do a promotion over here at one of the casinos. They got an opening to Topgolf. So we're living a tough life today.
Hey, that's not bad at all. I wonder, I don't know if you've had a chance to poke around yet, I bet LSU's national championship odds have changed tremendously in about 5 weeks' time.
Yeah, they have. I haven't gone back there yet. Literally, I just walked in. But I will go check that out for you and send you a text for tomorrow's big show.
There we go. We'll get a report on that. A lot of people in Baton Rouge and around Louisiana, Gordy, wondering, how does Grant Delpit get back to being Grant Delpit? I'll get your 2 cents on maybe the move for Christian Fulton to nickelback, is that something that could impact number 7?
Yeah, I don't know. You at the Vanderbilt game, I went back and looked at the film, and I think it may help a little bit. However, I think that move is more about trying to get some better play out of the nickel. I think Kerry Vincent Jr.'s had a difficult start to the season. My question with Delpit is that last year he was a strong safety, and he's alternated between free and strong this season. And really you have two players, I think, that are kind of strong safety fits, and Jacoby Stevens and Grant Delpit, but one of them has to play free safety. So, where does he wind up? He alternated with Stevens in the Vanderbilt game and kicked down and played strong safety, and Stevens played over the top. But Stevens is so effective as an edge rusher.
So I'm really interested to see. That's one of the, I think, three kind of headlines that I'm looking for on the defensive side of the football. Where's Grant Delpit going to be playing?
Gordy, big story today out of Baton Rouge, Keenan Jones entering the transfer portal. I understand that, look, Jones, Manny Netherly, and to a degree even Kelvin Joseph before him, those guys weren't going to be every down players. But the rash of defections, does that impact the way you look at maybe the depth of this secondary, and could it be an issue this year?
No, you know, I don't think it's an issue. You hate losing a player, and obviously he was signed as a wide receiver. And you look at what they have at wide receiver, they were deep, so they had some injuries at free safety. But you still have Vincent Jr. can play free safety. Cam Lewis can play free safety. Obviously, you've got Delpit Stevens back there. And you have Eric Monroe. I mean, you got a bunch of guys back there that are really capable of playing, you know, that position. So I don't think it's you hate to see kids lose, but I don't think it really hurts your depth. And keep in mind also, you know, let's put it pretty blunt. In this day and age, the kickoff and kickoff return, those coverage teams have not become as important as they were in years past simply because everybody's kicking it out the end zone. And so, you know, half of your special teams' duties are kind of out the window, in my opinion. You're down to punt, return, and punt.
It's a great point. We're visiting with Gordy Rush and talking LSU football on 103.7 The Game. Describe from your film study and talking with these coaches, I guess the intricacies, if you will, of this Utah State passing attack. How do they get it done?
Wait, one more time. I apologize. You cut out?
What have you seen of this Utah State passing attack? How are Jordan Love and company throwing it? Like, where do they attack a defense?
Well, you know, I mean, the big thing about Utah State, when you look at them on film last year, they had they lost nine starters from a year ago. So it's Love and his right tackle that returned. So it's a whole new cast of characters. They lost three receivers, a tight end, and a running back. That being said, there's certainly a spread team. He is a very athletic quarterback. They're not a power spread. They're more of a finesse spread. What he really will do well is he won't hang in the pocket and the vertical ball. And that's where he's had a lot of success this season. He had two of them against Colorado State, another two against San Diego State. He can stretch the field. He's also made some errors. I think he's probably tried to do a little too much. This is not the explosive offense that Utah State had a year ago. But nonetheless, they're 3-1 with their lone loss coming on the road to Wake Forest.
Gordy, how do you expect James Craig to work in Ed Ingram in this ball game, if at all?
Yeah, no, I think he's got to play. I think he's going to play left guard and see what he can do. I, from what I've heard, he's in excellent shape. He's ready to roll. You know, they switch from a gap to a zone scheme. I don't think it's that sophisticated. I don't think he starts, but the question is, how much work does he get in? Will he be ready to go for Florida?
And we continue to wonder how this team's going to backfill for Terrace Marshall. They've got a lot of talented options. You and I discussed it last week, but again, as a refresher, maybe one or two that stand at the top of that list.
Well, I mean, for me, I think the obviously Stephon Sullivan just goes back out the wide receiver to be playing the tight end position a little bit. So I think that's at the top of the list. Jonte Kirkland is a guy that they believe is ready to make an impact that Ogeron mentioned him last night on his coach's show. I think Trey Palmer, a chance to play, especially in the vertical ball, that he can really stretch and get down the football field. And then Racy McMath, who's got to sit out a half from his targeting suspension against Vanderbilt. He's another guy I think you're ready to blossom. So they got, again, lots of choices out there at receiver.
Finishing up with LSU football sideline reporter Gordy Rush. Let's look elsewhere in the SEC. Auburn at Florida, and you've been telling us you believe Auburn's a better team of those two. I agree with you.
Yep.
How do you think this one turns out in Gainesville?
I think Auburn wins. I like Auburn on both sides of the football. They also have one of the best offensive lines in this conference. And it for me, besides the defense, what really puts them over the top is that Gus Malzahn has a quarterback that fits his offense. A year ago, he looked lost with Stidham back there. I mean, Stidham is a backup in New England, and he just hasn't been successful with throwing quarterbacks. He needs somebody that's downhill, a runner, and particularly can run between the tackles. And he's able to run all those jets at you and make you defend the football field. I like Auburn. Florida lost 4 out of 5 starters on that offensive line. I do like Trask, and I do Franks, but I like Auburn in this game.
We'll let you go with this, Gordy. I remember Patrick Nix coming into Tiger Stadium when DiNardo and company were bringing the magic back. Does this son have a chance to be an even better quarterback by the time he's done?
Well, there's no question. I mean, playing right, you know, with the cast of characters, they've recruited well. And, again, I think it's a great fit with what they have with Monson. And you think about it, that Burrow and Tua are both gone next year if we're taking a peek at the 2020. And there's some question marks at both of those schools. There's no doubt, you know, if you said, hey, who's your early favorite in the SEC? The 2020, it's got to be Auburn. It's got to be up there just because Bo Nix and who they're returning.
Awesome, man. Hey, I know you got a lot to do tonight with Jacob Hester. Tell him we said hello and enjoy Biloxi.
Okay, thank you.
That's Gordy Rush. Yeah, he's pretty lucky. He and one of LSU's original number 18s going to tear it up at Biloxi. I'll wait on that tweet, and I'll let you know exactly where LSU's at right about now in southern Mississippi when it comes to odds to win the national championship, maybe even odds to get to the college football playoff. If you're just joining us, I made reference there to Keaton Jones, a former Berwick High star, going from LSU. That's not technically the case, so I'll give you the update. We learned at about 3 o'clock when the young man tweeted this afternoon that the former wide receiver from Berwick, he's been playing some DB, he plans to enter the transfer portal. And so, again, that's a statement of intention. You kind of put your line in the water, and you see who bites, and maybe how big the fish is that bites. So that's going to be what's next for Keenan Jones. And I don't think that LSU in any way, shape, or form has a huge depth problem, but I kind of wonder what comes after Fulton and then Stingley at cornerback. We saw that bite LSU for a couple of plays in the Texas game when Fulton went out. Again, it was brief. Okay, well, who's next? In what roles can you trust Kerry Vincent Jr.? How many different ways do you want to use Jacoby Stevens? And you just heard Gordy say it. I agree with him. Stevens a lot more valuable as a pass rusher and getting down in the box. So is it a huge depth problem for DBU? No. Is it a depth problem? I think that it could be. So it's just something to monitor as now twice in 2 days LSU has lost former Louisiana recruits, right? And I think Leonard Fournette, a 3-star, Keenan Jones, a 4-star, both offensive players when they got in. Jones, as I mentioned, had been moved around. So something to think about. We'll take our first break of the 5 o'clock hour. When we return, I want to get back a little bit of Saints and a little bit of Cajuns in the next segment. We'll take your phone calls as well, 706-0111. And in about 20 minutes, I'll throw some shade. A high school football coach forced to resign, and I will tell you why. It's mind-blowing to me. We're going to take a timeout, and then we'll be right back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Back to the Tap Room River Ranch, and yeah, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bit of a madhouse here. I thought that it might be Our Lady of Lourdes having a doctor's appreciation night. So, hey, I advised you of this in the 4 o'clock hour. Just tell your significant other, or I guess you could bring them with you too. It's time that we go appreciate doctors. I guess that's what the kids are calling it these days. I call it knocking off on a Thursday night and starting the weekend early. So come do that with us. Enjoy it while you can. Clint and I will be with you until 7. The live music here continues from 8 until 11. It's a fun afternoon about to turn into a very fun evening at the Tap Room River Ranch. Let's get back to the Saints. CD, we paid a little attention there in hour number one. Sound bites from Teddy Bridgewater, looking to improve upon a few things from his first two starts. Marshawn Lattimore, ready to get locked in. He had Amari Cooper, one of the best wideouts in the game last week. This time around, his old buddy, Mike Evans. And then Sheldon Rankins told you, it's great to get back. Felt good. Limited action, returning along the defensive line. I can give an injury update. This according to Catherine Terrell of The Athletic.
as well as Luke Johnson now back to the New Orleans Advocate, Times-Picayune. Trey Hendrickson missed practice again. That's not a huge surprise. And how about this? Drew Brees out there running around. And Brees on WWL yesterday said that he's doing some things now that he wasn't even able to a few days ago involving that injured thumb. Again, the type of calisthenics this man is doing to come back from that thumb injury, never thought there would be this many ways to rehab from that type of injury on that part of the body. But he's out there doing it. And today, by all reports, running around at practice. I'm tending to agree, with something that Jeff Duncan put out there. Jeff Duncan saw that Brees comment on WWL and said, I'll continue to bet the under on his return. I don't think it's wise to force his return before the bye week, and I'm not sure that will happen. But, boy, I don't think it'll linger much past that. So more progress on the Brees front. I mentioned Hendrickson missed practice entirely. Here's a list of players who were limited today. On the offensive line, Andres Pete and former LSU Tiger Will Clapp. Tre'Quan Smith at wide receiver. That's actually a progression from him. He's been out entirely for a little bit. Von Bell and Cam Jordan on the defensive side, both limited. I would not expect either to miss the Saints game against the Bucs at home this Sunday. So we got some time. We could talk Saints, and then we can go in on the Cajuns as well, and I have a little bit of that in mind for this segment too. 706-0111, whether it's black and gold or vermilion and white, call us up, ask us your questions, and give us your takes. CD, we had a good time talking with Katie Turner a little less than an hour ago. She's the director of on-campus recruiting for Billy Napier and UL. I've gotten some off-air reaction from the question that you and I asked yesterday about that Cajuns App State game. And we just asked very open-endedly, what do you anticipate in terms of the crowd? You and I both settled in on probably somewhere between 15 and 20,000. Some of the response that I got off-air, and I'll bring it onto the air now, is that 20,000 would be an enormous win, considering the fact that it's a Wednesday night game. Forget everything else. Forget past attendance problems. Forget anything else you can imagine. Weather, any of that stuff. And by the way, it's supposed to be really pleasant and cooler in the middle of next week. But because of the fact that it's in the middle of the week, because of the fact that you've got, who knows, freshman JV football games, a lot of people maybe feeling that 20,000 would be a win and that maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility. Your two cents.
And I think it won't be out of the realm of possibility because, again, you brought it up, it's a Wednesday night. Honestly, what else is really going on? And you brought it up perfectly, the fact you do have some of these freshman JV games going on, but I still think for the most part, a lot of the fan base, especially college students, they probably won't have a whole lot going on a Wednesday night, so come on out to the Cajun Field. That'll stack things up. Mind you, it still won't look as great as it should be on TV, largely because of the fact that App State isn't going to draw that well traveling over from Boone, North Carolina, Lafayette, Louisiana. But for the most part, if they can hit 20,000, that is an absolute win.
We'll put a pin in that. We got almost a week. We can keep revisiting that topic. But it was interesting commentary again off the air, so bring it to the program. Right now, we're going to take a trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Halftime is back with us and wants to talk Saints. How the heck are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I tell you what, I want to make a comment on the Saints and just hear what you guys are talking about with the with UL education. I'm going to make a quick comment on that. With the Saints, there's so much a negative we can look at with Brees being out and stuff, but, I mean, with them winning, let's look at the positive. On the positive side, with the defense coming back, and I just want to get your opinion on it, with the defense playing like they're playing, it'll be awesome when Brees come back, offense really be clicking, defense clicking, special teams clicking. Plus, with Brees sitting out those games, do you think on the back stretch of the season that would help him out? Because I know last year he did good, but, you know, he's getting older, you get tired. I think he's going to be fresher, you know, hopefully make playoffs. He'll definitely be fresh, and that'll be good. On the Cajun side, I made a phone call on Five Guys yesterday. I talked to Clint, and I'm going to say it again. I think for the Raging Cajuns, what we need is the fans to didn't even spend money on it. That's all I got, guys. You have a good one. I want to hear what you got to say. Thanks.
You're the man, Halftime. You're not wrong about Popeyes. I will say this. That's not the only fix. It's not a quick fix for Cage's attendance problems, but it's not a bad idea. And again, I'll say, you're not wrong. It could only help for members of the community, especially prominent ones, right, to go out there and put it on social media. And maybe I'm guilty of that myself, not of being prominent. Let's not put the cart ahead of the horse with my quote-unquote fame. But my wife likes to put pictures out there every time I go to a Cajuns game. And, yes, she'll tag me, but I could probably do a better job of that. So, you know what? I'll take that challenge. Not a bad idea from halftime. As for the Saints, I suggested that on Monday's show. There is a real chance that this injury could be the best thing that happened to the Saints' chances of winning the Super Bowl this year. I think declaring that definitively right now, it's a little premature because there's unknown, right? We don't know how he's going to rehab. We imagine quickly, but quickly always mean thoroughly. Does it leave potential for some relapse with that once he gets playing and gripping the ball every single play and having the center, you know, when he's not in the shotgun, just blasting it off into his thumb again every play? There are unknowns. However, the general concept to me makes complete sense, Halftime, and that is what I said Monday. Breeze has an opportunity to be fresher than he's been ever in his career into December, entering January, because he won't be ripping it and gripping it, throwing the football 40 times a game for 16 straight weeks this time. Entering the playoffs. That's absolutely a real possibility here. And to your point, Halftime, the other units on this team. Special teams, we always figured, were pretty good. But defense coming around and having to shoulder more of the burden, having to win games as they did Sunday night, you're gaining confidence elsewhere. The combination of that confidence gained, defense, special teams, and a shoulder-elbow combination for Breeze that's fresher than maybe it's ever been, especially down the back stretch of his career, yeah, it's got a chance to be a blessing in disguise for this Saints franchise. Will it definitely be that? Don't know. Time will tell. Can they keep winning without him? How does he rehab? Those are the things we got to figure out. But winning games without him is going to make a lot of people internally with that organization and externally feel all the better about this team's chances. It's a great call and a good point from Halftime. All right, we're at the halfway point of our hour and, as it were, our show. We'll be right back in. We got some shade to throw. Then we'll preview Thursday night football and a big NFC weekend. Rams, Seahawks get it started tonight. Blaine Viator will be with us in 35 minutes. A lot of great things happening here as we're out at the Tap Room River Ranch. We're going to take a timeout, and then we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns, and that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
You think in trailers? Think Tibbs. Whether you tug it, tow it, or transport it, Tibbs Trailers is your headquarters for enclosed, flatbed, and hydraulic trailers. You won't find a better selection or a better price than right here. We've got the experts to repair or customize your trailer, so it'll be ready for whatever you pull it through. Why would you go anywhere else when you can go to Tibbs Trailers? Now we're talking trailers.
Between Scott and Dusan.
Right now, the Home Depot makes replacing your old carpet easy. With more styles and colors to choose from, there's no better time to buy. With free installation on any carpet purchase of $499 or more, all by licensed local pros. Backed for life, today is the day for doing and saving with free carpet installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For a limited time, $499 minimum purchase required, typically $699. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers. Valid through November 6, 2019.
The free 103.7 The Game mobile app, It's the perfect way and the only way to connect to the Acadiana Sports Station on the go. So make sure you go to your mobile phone or device's app, type in KLWB 103.7 The Game, and then plug into live and local shows even when you're out of the market. Go back, listen to on-demand interviews and specialty podcasts, even get involved with our Rewards Club where you can enter to win free goodies on us. It is the free 103.7 The Game mobile app, and it's proudly presented by Visit Avery Island.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
34 minutes after 5 o'clock, we are having a blast, and this place is jam-packed. The Tap Room River Ranch, our host each and every Thursday. Ben Love here, the famous Clint D., ready, willing, and able to take your phone calls at 706-0111. We've been spinning the wheel talking LSU, UL, the Saints too, and now we'll break from some of that programming because every day, Clint, we get to have a little bit of fun, sometimes at other people's expense. Sometimes, well, we just get to stand on our high horse. This one's going to be a double dose of the latter. Trust me. I will explain in plenty of detail. But first, I'll issue a reminder. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Alex, a friendly face. He'll be the one to put up the shades and awnings, while Todd, pretty friendly as well. He'll take care of the installation of your patio covers and those gorgeous customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
This, to me, is sickening. Frankly, parts one and two are. But a story coming from the West Coast, and hopefully I'm saying this name correctly, but Devin DeRiso was essentially forced to resign as head football coach at Avondale La Jolla Community High School, basically for scoring too many points. 2019 really pisses me off sometimes. This report comes from the East Valley Tribune. In the middle of the third quarter of La Jolla's homecoming game, it ended up being a 60-0 win over Copper Canyon. DeRiso, I'll call him by his nickname so I don't butcher it. They call him Double D. Double D said he was approached by the school's AD and told they wanted him to stop scoring as the Lobos were already up 30 points. After the interaction, in which Double D told his AD, no, an assistant coach on the sideline for La Jolla was approached by the principal, who warned him, if you want Double D to be on the sideline for next week, you better tell him to stop scoring right now. So here's what happened. Double D put in his backup players, according to the report, even down to third stringers. Well, you can't stop them from scoring, and the opposition couldn't. His team ended up scoring 5 touchdowns in the second half. One was a fumble return touchdown. One was a pick six. And one was a kick return touchdown. If you've ever watched a lopsided prep football game, whether we're talking middle school, high school, there's literally nothing you can do to stop that. And after that game was over, well, basically so was Double D. His team was 3-2. Technically speaking, he resigned, but he was forced to step down. This, according to the coach, has happened before. Now, here's what I find interesting. The head coach of the team that got beat 60-0, Copper Canyon's Sean Freeman, he told the Arizona Republic, quote, we shook hands and that was that. When I got a phone call today that Double D was out, I was surprised. To me, it was not that big a deal. We just got beat fair and square. It's football. And if you're not showing up with your A game, that's what happens. Double D finished this report by saying, look, if the other coach and the other team didn't think we were running up the score and nobody else did except them, meaning his principal and AD, that's on them. Now that means they're questioning my integrity, how I handle myself and my program, and that's frustrating. I can't, I won't work for an organization like that. Wow. A coach fired for scoring too many points, warned at halftime. I called a football game last week where the home team scored 70-plus against the 4A team with their second and third stringers. Cats are out there getting fired for that kind of stuff. It makes me bleeping sick. And I'm not just throwing shade at it. We need, I mean, a huge change of priorities and mentality, I think, in this country. It's an epidemic of, I mean, just loserhood that is seeping into so many people. All right, I'm off of that high horse. I'll get on to another one briefly. You probably have seen that Sports Illustrated, SI.com, laying off a boatload of people. It shouldn't be shocking in the modern media world, especially sports media, that this happens. But I've got a personal bone that I'll pick here. Jim Heckman, who helped run Scout.com into the ground, he was certainly the biggest reason why I was one of 30 people that was laid off from Scout in late 2015. God's blessings that led me full-time here. I was already doing the radio show at that point, was no longer covering LSU as a day-to-day beat writer, moved to Lafayette, married the right woman, doing the right radio show. I thank the big man upstairs every day that that happened. But I feel for the people at SI.com who were taken over by Maven. Maven run by none other than, oh, wouldn't you know it, Heckman. And so while I feel for all these men and women who are being laid off, unfortunately, it's predictable. But what I will do is throw shade at somebody who is an agent of evil in the sports media world. You get a call from that guy, he wants you to work for him. Turn, run the other way. Certainly there is a grave to be dug. There is a fast food drive-through to be worked at. There's anything else that's more stable than taking a chance with that guy. My thoughts with all the people at Sports Illustrated that are going through what I did almost exactly 4 years ago, you will land on your feet.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
CD, how's that for throwing shade on a Thursday? Not exactly jovial like we are sometimes, but I have a personal connection, obviously, to the second story. But on that first one, man, I get the idea of having some mercy, but if your second and third teamers are scoring, what else are you supposed to do?
Exactly. I mean, you can't exactly literally call the dogs off and then you wind up saying, hey, we just want to end the game here. You can't wind up doing that. I think that'll be the only thing they'd want to do. But it's like, come on, man. When you put your second, third stringers out there and you're still scoring points, it really shows maybe just how bad the competition is outside of that program.
Wonder how many people are lining up to work at Avondale La Jolla Community High School. Probably not a lot. That's just my guess. All right, we got to shut it down. Final break in the 5 o'clock hour. And that's all the shade I got for today. We'll keep it lighter on the other side, unless you want to call and chunk some of yours. We've always got time for you. 706-0111. Hanging out today at a packed Taproom River Ranch. Quick timeout, then we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Raymond Parts III here, host of RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
It's packed and it is a blast right now. 12 minutes to 6 o'clock. We're at our Thursday home, the Taproom River Ranch. We got Blaine Viator hopping aboard in less than 15 minutes to talk MVPs of the Acadiana area thus far in the high school football season. But let's forget about the preps for a moment. Let's get to the pros. I sense a huge theme in this weekend of pro football. I think it's a huge weekend looming in the NFC. Some real prove-it games. Perhaps the biggest of all is tonight. Rams, Seahawks. And I want to get you ready for it, and then I'll dovetail into the other big NFC matchups. The Saints are in maybe a second tier bout against the Bucs. We'll see if Famous Jameis and company can prove it. Second straight game on the road. They dusted off the Rams last week. Doing it again at New Orleans would be very impressive. Again, we'll touch on that later. I want to get to Rams Seahawks. I mentioned this stat earlier. The Seahawks under Pete Carroll, 25-5-1 against any opposition in primetime games. That's Thursday, Sunday, Monday night. 25-5-1. So this stage really suits Seattle. And let's start with the guy that makes them tick. Starting quarterback Russell Wilson. He knows that Aaron Donald, one of the absolute best in the game on that defensive line for the Rams. And Danger Russ tells you he's got a lot of respect for the big fella.
You know, when you get to play a great guy, a great player in terms of Aaron Donald and what he can do and some other guys that you face throughout your career, you realize that they're true factors, and you got to have a lot of respect for him. So I have a lot of respect for him, how he plays the game. He's tough. He plays hard. He goes to the whistle. He's a star, that's for sure.
If you watch the Saints-Seahawks game, you know that occasionally Seattle can go through some lulls in the red zone. And outside of Tyler Lockett, maybe even the up-and-coming young tight end Will Disley, they're still looking for success passing inside the 20. It'll be no exception tonight as they look to beat the Rams at home.
I think we got great players. First of all, I think the offensive line is doing a tremendous job blocking the red zone. They're doing a great job of giving me a time, and guys are making plays down there, and we're just executing. I think there's a lot of guys touching the football, making plays. The ball is diversified in a good way, and I think that's key.
We'll get more previewing the Rams-Seahawks game. In fact, let's go now to the other side of the ledger, and how about the other starting quarterback in this game? Goff, his thoughts on the first quarter of the Rams season. Again, defending an NFC crown, there have been ups and downs for L.A.
We're fine. Yeah, we're 3-1. We're in a good place. I think, you know, I've certainly been a part of a lot worse than this, and I know a lot of the guys on this team have as well. But you look at it with good perspective. In the first quarter of the season, we went 3-1. We're still in a great place. We got a nice division game this week to get a chance to go up there to Seattle and you know, hopefully do some good things.
Yeah, dude, you played football at Cal. We understand you've been through worse. But Goff, with all that money, hasn't exactly been maybe individually and statistically worth the investment so far, but he is leading an offense that has all kinds of weapons. And he tells you here it's important when you're taking on Seattle to get going early in the ballgame.
To get ourselves all the way back from that hole is rare. I think it's, you know, we were close to, you know, finishing it off and unfortunately didn't, and there's no moral victory, but, you know, a lot of teams let that, you know, bury them early on and aren't able to climb out of it, and unfortunately we were, but it wasn't enough. But I think just early on, like we've talked about, just getting everything rolling, staying smooth and trying to, you know, eliminate some of the mental errors and some of the stuff that's easily fixable.
We'll finish up with former USC head coach. He's been leading the Seahawks for the better part of a decade now, Pete Carroll. And quite simply, he gives his thoughts on Seattle, on the Rams, and the matchup tonight for Thursday Night Football.
They got all kinds of firepower. They're loaded, and it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to take everything. It's a game we need to play. We need to be involved in games like this. If you're going to have a good season, you got to be able to match up and play these kinds of games and do a good job. So I'm looking forward to it.
And again, for me, this foretells the story of the NFL weekend. Huge in the NFC, because you've got some movers and shakers that'll be squaring off against one another. I think the second biggest game has got to be Green Bay at Dallas. Is it time for the Cowboys to get back on track? Or did they get exposed by the New Orleans Saints defense? We'll find out a lot more of that game in the Big D Sunday, late afternoon. Cowboys still going up as 3.5-point favorites. My 2 cents, I think that there's a real, real good chance that the Packers win that game straight up. Does that mean that New Orleans exposed Dak, Zeke, and company? Maybe yes, maybe no. But that Packers defense, I think, might be even better than the Saints. And so it's not going to be an easy and cushy landing just because Jerry's team is playing back at Jerry World. The other reason that I'll tell you it's a big weekend in the NFC, you have a couple of contenders that are hitting the road. Chicago at Oakland. You would expect the Bears to win that one. Actually, that game is in London, but still, Chicago against Oakland in London. You got to do it without Trubisky. I think that is a big deal. But the bigger test is a home game in the NFC. The 49ers are 3-0, and they've got the Cleveland Browns coming to town on Monday night. Are they worth that 3-0 record? Are they going to be under Jimmy Garoppolo what everybody thought they could have been last year when Jimmy G was entering his first year as the full-time starter? I'm not willing to grant that just yet. I tend to believe, as I picked with Cousin Dino yesterday, that Cleveland covers as 3.5-point dogs and wins this bad boy outright. So time for some potential shakeup within the NFC. Can San Fran stay undefeated? Packers, Cowboys, who's going to win that tussle? Obviously tonight, Rams versus Seahawks. And then you got a couple teams you would expect to roll that have pretty good teams in the NFC as well. Eagles are at home against the Jets and 14-point favorites. Atlanta, an opportunity to keep showing that they want to put their name in the hat. They are actually dogs going to Houston. So still a lot for us, I think, to figure out within the Saints conference. And obviously this weekend, a big game within the Saints division. Who Dat Nation favorites over Famous Jameis and the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think this one is more about the Saints' defense than it is Bridgewater and the offense. I know you're going to tell me that the Saints have to keep up in a potential shootout with the same Bucks team that scored 50-plus on L.A. last week. I kind of see it differently. I see it as an opportunity for the Saints' defense to prove it can keep winning games in different styles of games. Dallas was never going to come in and score 40 or 50 on the Saints' defense. That's not the way they're built. They want to run it. They want ball control. Tampa will lose its ever-loving mind to put up yards and points and then sacrifice their defense on the back end, sacrifice the team concept. They've been that way for a long time, even before Bruce Arians was at the helm. So for my money, I think the Saints' defense has a chance to show they can help win this game in the second half against a team that wants to force the tempo, not just win a game like they did against Dallas when it's played in tight quarters. The Dallas win, you could say, is more impressive than Tampa. I'd agree, because of the caliber of the team we think Dallas has. But the form right now for this Tampa offense, they are in fuego. So a great opportunity for Dennis Allen and that Saints defense to show that they can be locked down against the different style of attack. Sure, Dak wants to throw it to Amari Cooper, but right now Jameis is chunking it to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Those guys have had 6 touchdowns combined over the last 2 games. That team, that offense is rolling. Can the Saints defense duplicate its efforts from what we saw a week ago? So a huge weekend in the NFC, and it does begin tonight. We will have the ball game. 7 o'clock, your pregame show from Seattle. 7:25 is kickoff between the Rams and Seahawks, and that keeps a great thing rolling because we've had a lot of fun today. Katie Turner talking Cages in the 4 o'clock hour. Gordy Rush started off this hour talking LSU as he was live from Biloxi, Mississippi. And if we can hear ourselves think, Blaine Viator will be with us at the top of the 6 o'clock hour to talk prep football. Having a lot of fun, and this place is packed tonight. We'll be right back out to the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Passing by.
Oh!
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Right back in one final hour. It's been an eventful program so far at the place to be, the Tap Room River Ranch. Ben Love, and I'll be joined for the next half hour by Blaine Viator. We're going to talk prep football on 103.7 The Game. Got to give a shout-out to famous Clint D, keeping us in line, in check, as best he can. From inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Partner, let's take a bit of a different tact as we bring in Blaine Viator. We want to talk area MVPs. We're creeping up on the halfway point of this 2019 regular season. So as we look around the area, select, non-select, hey, we're not about that split garbage. We're just going to show love to everybody. Let's kind of take this a few players at a time. You've got a total of 10. Let's get into it. In no particular order, Blaine, some of your area MVPs.
I think what you got to start with is Brobridge. They've just been bangers so far this year. They had a massive win against Eunice last week. They follow that up this week. They get to play against a pretty solid Turlings team. So we're finding out how good Brobridge is every week, and they kind of go ahead and just prove us wrong every week as they continue to get better. But, I mean, D'Artavian Girard's just been outstanding. The Southern Miss commitment has already caught 19 balls for 596 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, you do the math. That's a lot of yards per play. That means he's getting a whole bunch of yak. He's a splash guy, man. You give him the ball around the line of scrimmage, he makes one guy miss, and he can take it to the house every time he touches it.
Story of the young season so far is Brobridge. The way that they're winning, beating two finalists from a year ago, Eunice, who won the state title, Catholic New Iberia, who fell, obviously, and he certainly is making them go.
And I mean, I think he's getting a ton of help by the young quarterback. He's a senior, but first-year starter, Gavin Corville. How about this? First-year starting, no big deal. 45 of 78, Ben, for 840 yards, 10 touchdowns, only one interception. I mean, whenever you can do that and control the football and you have a very good defense behind you at Brobridge, you're going to win a ton of games. Those are two guys that are absolutely making Brobridge go right now. D'Artavian Girard right now, the Southern Miss commit. If I'm a betting man, I'm willing to bet a whole slew of schools are going to come on this guy late. He's just having too much of an outstanding year for that not to happen. And while we're talking about wide receivers and quarterbacks, we'll keep that trend going, and we'll talk about who could possibly be the best team in the entire state after just a huge win against Neville a week ago. Tomorrow they get to play your alum in Catholic High, Baton Rouge.
Yeah, hold on. Who's the best team in the state?
We might find out tomorrow night. I know John Curtis is screaming from the rooftops in New Orleans saying they want a little bit of that argument, but I think that these two teams are every bit as good or possible the best teams in the state. But Caleb Holstein, I mean, we knew he was going to be great, and he's as good as advertised. So far this year, he's completing about 64% of his passes for almost 1,300 yards. 15 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions. So protecting the football, and you know how he's getting it done? Mostly with a guy by the name of Jack Besh. You want to talk about big-time playmaker? He's a guy that goes about 6'1", 190 pounds. He's caught 30 balls for 472 yards and 7 TDs on the season. Going into the year, I probably had Jack Besh as a fringe guy at a FBS school, maybe more of the FCS level. But I don't know. I mean, the way the season's progressing.
Oh, I think Besh could end up being a guy that may elevate to Cajuns type level.
If not higher.
Yeah.
I think he's borderline, maybe bottom level, Power 5 type kid. You'll see him when the list come out for 2021. He's going to be up there. He's been special all season long.
I put it to you this way. When we talk about Besh and his recruitability, Jack, obviously the nephew of former LSU Tiger Blaine Besh. If Peter LeBlanc of Catholic New Iberia is on scholarship to play for the Cajuns, I think there's a chance this could be. And it's not a knock on Peter, who, by the way, has already scored a touchdown as a true freshman. Peter, a different type of athlete, taller, right, a track and field star.
Besh is so well built. He's got a chance to be really special.
No, and he has such a good football IQ, Ben. He'll sit in the zone, catch the football, and his jack is just tremendous as well. You're talking about a guy that can make guys miss and very strong running the football as well.
All right, so you've given me three from what they do offensively. I know you've got a guy who he specializes in a lot of areas, but maybe the return man of the area through four games. I think we know who that is.
It's got to be Sage Ryan. The guy is just dynamite with the football in his hands. As you mentioned, he's already got four touchdowns through special teams, two on punt return, two on kick returns. And, oh, yeah, he helps out in the passing game as well. Make that 12 catches for 215 yards and three touchdowns. He's a special guy. He's a guy who I see him as a safety at the next level, though, that can return kicks. And, look, the who's who of America's after this guy. The LSUs, the Alabamas, the Georgias, Michigans of the world are coming into Lafayette and trying to get this guy. I know LSU's really pushing for him to come into that junior day in February and give his early pledge to the Tigers. He's related to former LSU and caring for great Kevin Falk. Seems to be a lot of sides pushing them there, but we know how good Sage Ryan is.
Ben Love joined by Blaine Viator. We're live from the Taproom River Ranch and talking in no particular order or rank right now, area MVPs nearing the halfway point of the prep football season. All right, you're four in. Where are you taking me next?
Let's go with C.J. Thibodeau out of Notre Dame. You want to talk about a guy who's a volume carrier that gets better with the game goes on? The young man already has 96 carries in this young season for 747 yards and nine touchdowns. Just a week ago, they went to Terlings, a Notre Dame team that we know how good they are. They run that option. Well, Mr. Thibodeau had 30-plus carries for 300 yards in that ball game, averaging almost 10 yards a pop. He could do it both ways with the big plays or just grind you out. Just a tremendous player for Coach Louis Cook and the Fighters.
All right, so that's five. Here's what we're going to do. I want to preview a little bit of the matchup, not just in the area, but of the state. We'll talk SDM Catholic, Baton Rouge to end this segment. Sit on those other five for me because I want to get to them in our second segment. I'm just going to put it on a tray for you. I mean, your thoughts about this matchup, both very impressive last week. STM, Catholic Baton Rouge, go.
I think STM showed me an element to their team I didn't know was going to be that good, and that's on the defensive side of the football. This is a Neville team that came in to Lafayette last week that was very explosive. They put up big numbers against Ruston, against Wachita Parish. You knew they could score in bunches, and they got good athletes on the outside. The way STM handled that team to hold them to just six, and the way Caleb Holstein and company were able to put up points and get another big game by Jack Besh was just so dominant. On the flip side of that, though, Catholic High Baton Rouge just absolutely walloped Carr, Edna Carr out of New Orleans, who we know how good and what kind of athletes they have over there. I think this is going to be just a sludge fest, Ben. I think those two teams are just going to go at each other. I think it's going to be a lot lower scoring than people think. I think this game's going to probably
be. Do you really?
I think it's going to be played in the 20s.
Last year, shame on me, I should have this in front of me, but it feels like the final score was somewhere around 52-48.
I believe so.
Something like
that. Huge early in that ballgame.
And Catholic comes roaring back. Both of the ground games were phenomenal last year. STM obviously doing everything they can to replace a bell cow. I don't know that Noah Frederick returns for this ballgame again. I don't have that intel. It would help, but I know this. STM this year is better defensively, and I know that's a big part of the reason you think it'll be lower scoring. It was high 40s, low 50s last year, one score game. I think it's the same exact type of ball game, but 10 points lower. So I think it's high 30s, low 40s. Again, the winner, I think, wins it by within a touchdown.
I don't think Catholic High wants to get in a shootout with STM.
Is there any other way to play STM, though?
I
think they went out with their will and their pace these days. But Catholic's the type of team that could play with that pace.
Well, Catholic has a great offensive line with a running back who had, like, four touchdowns last week that they could run behind. I think that has to be the M.O. for the Catholic High Bears is to slow down the ball game and keep Holstein and that potent offense on the sideline. That's what they have to do if they want to have a chance. I think if this game scored in the 40s, it favors STM, and they're probably victors.
Catholic starts three underclassmen in the secondary, and it's actually been a point of pride, I know, for the program. I have no problem telling you and our listeners this, Blaine. Yes, I played there. Yes, I went there. Yes, my little brother went there. Almost nobody that I played under or knew is still there. So my level of connection to that program, look, Dale Weiner's retired. Neil Weiner's at Dunham. Chad Mahaffey's been at U High and Walker. I mean, the guy that's at U-High now, Andy Martin, was there when I was there. J.P. Kelly's the athletic director. So my point to you is this. It's a new era. Gabe Fertitta is doing things completely differently. The first freshman to ever play in the history of that program, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's now at LSU. That means no work done, no Travis Minor, no Darius Major Geis. Applewhite, no Darius Geis. So here's my point to you. They're letting underclassmen play. I do think it's fair to say that they're recruiting. I'm not saying cheating, but recruiting differently than they used to and opening certain doors that didn't used to be open. Let's just tell it like it is. I know that much. I can tell. But I do think there's an opportunity for Caleb Holstein and STM to try and pick on some of those younger guys and do so more successfully than Nakar was able to through the air last week.
Well, this is also an STM team that doesn't run the football as well as you mentioned. I mean, losing, was it Linden last year?
Well, no, Sidney Linden was a part of it, but the bell cow last year was Cryer.
Cryer, well, William Cryer, man, he was good. Just dynamite guy. I think losing him kind of takes away from that running game, and it makes them score maybe just a little bit too quick. I just think that this is a Kathakai Baton Rouge team that's just built a little different, especially along the offensive line. I don't think STM's seen an offensive front like that yet this year.
All right, we'll continue our conversation there, and Blaine has five more candidates for area MVP through half, just about half, of a prep football season. We'll be right back out. Hopefully we'll continue to hear ourselves think. It is blazing right now at the Taproom River Ranch. Quick timeout, and then we'll have more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
Let's have some fun, and then we'll get back to the high school football talk. Not that that's less than fun, but right now we're at the Taproom River Ranch. Ben Love, Blaine Viator, for another 10 minutes. You listen to this show very sparingly, but occasionally, like today, you're a part of this show. And into Fridays, you've been a part of this show. What do we do for Sink or Swim every Friday?
Over-unders.
We go over-unders. Over-under. There are 63.5 people in this place right now.
Over. I'm taking the over on that. It's jammed up packed. You have a hard time walking to the bar. It's so many people. I just saw the Musica Entertainment coming in. So I have music over here shortly. It's a lot of folks out here.
Set a better line. What would you put the over-under at?
90.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I would say it's north of 75 for sure.
Saints get 300 yards of offense this week?
Okay,
that's Friday talk. Let's leave that for Friday. Hey, speaking of Friday, every Friday evening we get high school football back. And already you've given us five candidates for area MVP through 4 weeks. Give me five more.
Well, how about the Southside Sharks, Dylan Minette? Not the kid in high, but the Southside Sharks. The signal caller is just a gunslinger. He's not afraid to throw the football up and down the field. He's having a tremendous year so far. He's 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He really makes that offense go. They're going to get their biggest test of their inaugural season tomorrow night when they take on Acadiana High, who's pretty darn good in their own right. And the next two guys I have are from Acadiana High. It's Dylan Minette, who already has 455 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns. He only needed about 1,400 yards to break Ali Broussard's career rushing record for the Acadiana High Wrecking Rams. But if you really want to do Acadiana High, you could also take Lucky Brooks, Keontae Williams, or any of those guys. But on the defensive side of the ball for them, I think Mr. Figaro is just a man-child at that defensive end position. Thanos Figaro goes about, 6'3", 240 pounds, and he just looks like an absolute beast. He controls the line of scrimmage, sets the edge for that defense, and makes that Acadiana High team awfully good. So tomorrow night, Wrecking Rams, Southside Sharks. I think Acadiana High is going to be too much, man.
All right, so right now you are 7 deep, if my math is true. Let's get the final 3.
Well, we're 8 deep. We got 2 more. We Thanos Figueroa and Dylan Montez.
You went too deep at Acadiana. All right, so I can't get an over-under count, nor can I go to 10. I feel like we need the Cookie Monster in this place right now. Give me two more.
The other two are Luke Doucet from Iota. How about Luke going for 729 yards rushing and 11 touchdowns for an Iota team that played in the semifinals last year and went undefeated in the regular season? They kind of picking up right where they left off. Still a lot of talent for that Bulldog team, and it looks like they're going to still have a tremendous year. And on the other side, my 10th and final submission is Rodney Dupuy from Church Point, who has 573 rushing yards on 71 carries so far this year with 5 touchdowns. Look, this is a Church Point team that didn't start off in the right direction. The last two games, they really came back and were able to flex their muscle a little bit. So there's still a lot to play for those Church Point Bears, and a lot of the reason is behind the legs of Mr. Rodney Dupuy.
I think you'll understand where I'm going with this question. Who is your Church Point this year? I remember it was almost exactly, I mean, this juncture, right? Week 4, week 5 of the 2018 season, and you kept telling me, Church Point, the Bears are them boys. You said they are better than people realize. They're a real factor in that classification. Anybody else that you would say, you know what, they've got that kind of feel for me in 2019?
Well, so far, I mean, how can it be Brobridge? I mean, they've just been so good. And I know we talked about D'Artavian Girard and the quarterback, but that team just has a stout defense. They're able to really control the game and control the line of scrimmages on both sides of the football. And with what they're able to do right now in athletics, because, look, that's a basketball team that won a state championship, a baseball team that played for a state championship, and now a football team that's 4-0. They're doing stuff right over in Brobridge.
Anybody else so far, as you continue to kind of monitor, maybe teams that we didn't expect could do it? And by the way, could do it doesn't mean could win a state championship, but has an opportunity to advance far into the playoffs.
Well, I think a team nobody's talking about a whole bunch right now that they should be is Eunice. I mean, they won a state championship a year ago. I know they're going up in classification, but they're still 3-1 team. I know they lost last week to a very good Brobridge team, but I still expect for Brobridge to be right there. And another team that I feel that people are sleeping on this year because of early season losses is LCA. I think LCA still has an opportunity to be really good this year, to play deep into the season, and they'll get better as the year goes on. And they absolutely have a gigantic matchup tomorrow against Evangel.
I'm not sure that Evangel is what they used to be, but they're still a force, and that's still a huge ball game. I'm right there with you. I would say Trev Falcon LCA. Let me rewind that. Jacardi Carter and LCA have an opportunity to have a huge statement win for the program.
I'll give you two more, and that's going to be Opelousas Catholic, who started off better than everybody expected. They're undefeated after taking down a Vermilion Catholic team on the road a couple weeks ago. They have just a great wide receiver in Keon Coleman, and that offense really just clicks, and they're really slinging the football over the field right now. But the other one for me is Ascension Episcopal. Not many folks are talking about them. The Blue Gators.
Big game this week.
Yep. The Blue Gators have an opportunity this week to play Catholic of New Iberia, who may be down and struggling a little bit. But I think this could be a statement win for this team early in the season. It's a district ball game, and this is a Blue Gator team that's been on the fringe. They've been close to getting over the hump. Could this be the year they do it? We're going to learn a lot about those Blue Gators tomorrow night.
I'll have Coach Desimo and Ascension Episcopal on Tuesday at Pete's for our Prep Power Hour. They'll be a lot happier with the win over the Panthers on Friday. I know this, talking about crowds and people, 117 is still the number to beat. Terling's Catholic brought 117 people to Pete's. For what it's worth, Southside and FTM tied for second at 112. It's astounding.
Some strong numbers.
The Blue Gators, based off the last 2 years' performance, have a chance to meet or beat that number. That is tremendous fan support down in that area.
Well, I think it just goes to show you what high school football means in this neck of the woods. Just it's hard not to fall in love with the pureness of the sport, the pageantry of the ball game. I just love high school football, and it feels like the good folks of Acadiana do as well.
The game that you and I will call tomorrow night, Cairncrow at St. Martinville. I'll be honest with you. I was prepping my notes for me and RP3 doing Football Night in Acadiana pregame show tomorrow. That game for me preseason, my excitement level was about a 9 out of 10. Now it's probably about a 6 out of 10. So it hasn't completely dissipated. I just don't know about Vince Derwan's team. I know that they're not who they were last year, but I'm not sure if they're going to be as formidable as we thought, not just in Class 3A, but in general.
Well, I think going into the season, this was my number one game. I circled, put a star next to it. My excitement level was through the roof. I don't remember if I ever been to a football game at St. Martinville, man. And that's true. I've seen St. Martinville play a number of times at different places. But I tried to think about it the other night. I don't think I've ever been to a game in mini Death Valley, as they like to call it. I'm still excited about tomorrow. It's a little tampered. But I think St. Martinville maybe got off to a rough start. They had a tough schedule to begin the season. But I think Vince Derwin usually gets his boys. He rallied around, and the troops playing well. If any coach can do it, it's Coach Vince.
So we'll see how that cookie crumbles. And a lot of other big area games. We touched on Acadiana versus Southside, Lafayette High versus Sulphur, and suddenly an opportunity for the Mighty Lions maybe to get to what, 4-1? Are you kidding me? That would be a huge accomplishment. I don't care what the circumstances are. Rob Poole and the Lions are 4-1. Nothing but good on them.
I agree. And, you know, even as a bigger opportunity tomorrow, that's the Como Spartans getting to take on Sam Houston. I think that game's going to be for the number three team in that District 3-5A race.
Behind Barb and Acadiana?
Yeah, that's my two front runners in my eyes. We already seen what STM was able to do against Barb, but that's still a quality ball club. I think whoever wins that game is going to be the number three team in that district with a possibility of being number two. But Como with the big win against Lafayette High last week, this is really their chance to put their foot in the ground and say, you know, hey, we're here to play big boy football.
I'm giving you 1 minute and 1 minute only to share your excitement for the Houston Astros postseason run.
Oh, man, it's exciting. The boys are healthy. Carlos Correa was out, you know, taking BP today. I think that the juice box is going to be bumping tomorrow, JV on the hill, and then you get to, you know, come back with just two pitchers behind him that are just so good. The lineup is just sick and nasty, Ben. I don't see a way that this team's not at least playing in the World Series.
I can't remember who it is. Shame on me. I feel like it was one of the starting pitchers. Might have even been Garrett Cole, but somebody tweeted out after the win last night for Tampa, pulp or no pulp?
Yeah, it was.
Who was it?
It was Garrett Cole.
It was Cole. That's a Cy Young worthy tweet right there.
It was. And I think I'm excited about the series too. I mean, look,
Minute Maid in Tropicana.
And look, there's a Uncle Charlie Morton's over there from Nashville last couple years. And also, you got to remember when Hurricane Harvey came through, it was the Tampa Bay Rays that took in the Astros and let them put some home games there that year. So a lot of history between the two. And
now you're making me remember how much of asses the Texas Rangers were as that was going on.
Yeah, true. But, hey, they're getting AC. I know they're excited.
Yeah, you go. There you go. All right, I got to hit a break. Blaine, as always, this is fun. I'll catch you tomorrow night over in the St. Martinville neck of the woods. That's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I can't wait to experience a game inside that stadium for the first time.
Still trying to hear ourselves think. We're working our way through that. Hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch. We'll take a quick timeout. Then we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
First of all, the ball gets out really quick, so we have to play some tight coverage. Our defensive line will go get their hands up. We've got to bat some balls down. When he does have time, he likes to go deep. We're going to have to put pressure on him. And obviously, Coach Atlanta has a tremendous game plan on keeping those guys in front of him. That we can't get beat deep. I mean, that's got to be the key to the whole game plan, not let anybody run behind us and don't give them a big ball.
There's Ed Ogeron during his show last night in Baton Rouge. What the defense has to do is the Tigers bounce back from a bye week and look to stay undefeated tomorrow. Scratch that. Saturday, late morning, against Utah State. We're still hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch. Let's spin it forward. Ed Ogeron this afternoon told reporters John Emery Jr. and Ty Davis Price are sharing the RB2 duty after Leonard Fournette's departure. Well, that's really to be expected, right? But O added he has complete confidence in that duo of freshmen to handle some of the passing down work that previously went to Leonard Fournette. And so LSU, Utah State, yeah, we can discuss that matchup, but I'd love an MLB playoffs update. Clint, it's been a madhouse here at the Tap Room. My internet comes, my internet goes. Last I saw, St. Louis at Atlanta, tied at one in the bottom of the fifth. Atlanta struck first on a fielding error in the first, and then my Cardinals got back in the top of the fifth. So last I knew, maybe about 30 or 40 minutes ago, it was tied at one. Where are we now? Game one of the NLDS.
Currently, we're right now in the seventh inning. The Braves take a 3-1 lead, two runs in the bottom of the sixth to take control of the ballgame.
There we have it. And so we're in that beautiful time of year. And I made reference to this earlier in the week. We're starting to talk about basketball. Cody Warsham has described Will Wade and LSU basketball earlier this week. Andrew Lopez has talked Pels with us earlier this week. So, yeah, we got some hoop heads that are starting out of the woodworks. And we know all about football and its stranglehold on our lives. And we welcome it. We'll miss it when it's gone. But certainly baseball coming down the home stretch. We've got the MLB playoffs. Clint and I have discussed at length the Astros matchup with the Rays. Pulp or no pulp. A couple of teams that play in ballparks that are named after, well, orange juice, frankly. But that's just one of two matchups in the American League. And so you've got Stros versus Rays, already established Yankees versus Twins, winners of AL East and AL Central, respectively. My mind and my gut tell me that the Yankees win, but my heart is kind of rooting for the Twinkies, and I have no problem telling you that on the air. And they shouldn't be considered a market underdog, in my opinion. The Indians were everyone's pick to win that division. And what Minnesota did in setting a home run record this season, what they've done collectively as a team has been very impressive to me. So I think that's going to be a tight race in the other ALDS matchup. Of course, the NLDS pairings, you know about the game tonight. Braves right now with a 3-1 lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. And, of course, the Nationals with that huge come-from-behind win a couple of nights ago. They will travel to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. So we've got eight. They are the Elite Eight. We'll be down to the Final Four. Stros looking to get back to the ALCS for the third straight year and the World Series for the second time in three seasons. And you'll hear every pitch of Astros baseball here on Acadiana Sports Station. It is a beautiful time of year. We're about to end our final break in the program. When we return, we're going to air a portion of my sit-down chat earlier this week with Shay Dixon, go247.com. But it really wasn't about LSU football. This time around, Shay, he had a lot of questions for me about college sports and how much amateurism will remain. Don't go anywhere. After a quick timeout, we'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
The good times, they continue to roll out at the Taproom River Ranch. And just because Clint and I will exit stage left here in about, I don't know, 12 or 13 minutes, the party will not stop here. Live music from 8 to 11. This has been some kind of a shindig. It's been a doctor's appreciation night and a meet and greet for Our Lady of Lourdes. I always draw a crowd. Okay, not me. But usually this place draws a crowd on a Thursday. Tonight, boy, that would be an understatement. So this has been a whole lot of fun. We've had some great guests as well. I'll thank them before we close the curtain. But right now, we want to open that curtain back up. We're going to bring you a portion of an interview that I did earlier this week in the 5 o'clock, actually scratch that, the 4 o'clock hour Tuesday with Shay Dixon. For our 6 o'clock turning into 7 o'clock peeps, here's a Q&A replay with the recruiting analyst from go247.com, but it's all about the new amateur rules that seem to be in flux at the collegiate level. This, I thought, was a pretty cool and insightful conversation. I hope you enjoy it the second time around.
Well, we're going to go a little heavy. We've been so team heavy and talking LSU football, but the news of the week, and you may have already talked about it a bit, but I'm hitting you with my questions of everything that's come out of California and the name, image, likeness, and moving towards players getting a cut of obviously going to school, but also, you know, schools and everybody else marketing them. So if it's cool, if you're game, I'll just rapid fire some questions.
Let's do it.
All right, let's rock. Off top, this one gets tossed around a lot, so this is just a basic one. You've worked in, obviously, radio. You know how ad spots work. Let's say Hollingsworth, you know, Ford in Baton Rouge says, Joe Burrow, we want you to be our official sponsor. We're going to pay you $30,000 for the year, and you're going to come out, you know, and do one show up, meet and greet, and you're going to be on our commercials. Are you cool with that? It has nothing to do with the university. They pay him. Kind of no real compliance involved. Is that an okay thing?
I don't know that I'm quite kosher with that. And my gut tells me that's not the way this thing ends up playing out. I think, for lack of a better analogy to give your brother, I think the pimp's always going to take a cut. And so what I believe is that somehow, some way, the NCAA, the university / athletic department, they'll get theirs. And a lot like a commission sales agent, I think Joe Burrow, in this example, would get his on the back end. How do you split that pie? What are the percentages? I don't pretend to have a clue. But what I do know is it's more than Joe Burrow was getting. And what I do know is it opens the door up for, say, if Burrow becomes a first-round draft pick that probably not Hollingsworth Ford, but maybe on a national level, right, that Southern Quality Ford dealers, who knows, if he's playing it in New Orleans or Atlanta, then maybe they have a tie. And maybe he's got an easy in for some advertising money for life after college. So I could see a lot of ways in which that kind of could play itself out. But it is hard for me to imagine that there's direct contact from the, in this case, the advertising entity and then the player. Hard to believe that they're going to be allowed to be like the Wild Wild West and maybe even solicit these types of advertisements and then take 100% of the cut. Nothing about the history of the NCAA or intercollegiate athletics tells me that that's the way this will end up.
Okay, these two get tossed around a lot, so I'll ask you kind of them lumped together, and they're different. But if they're selling my jersey, Joe Burrow's jersey, in the gift shop, should I be getting a cut of that? Should I be getting, you know, not the whole thing, obviously, because they're printing and making the jerseys, but should I be involved in that, right? If I'm Joe Burrow, should I be getting something? And then the flip side, which we've seen a lot of players do this the second they graduate, should I be able to be in college? And if I want to sign autographs for money at the local Walmart, shouldn't I be able to do it?
I'm very okay with the first one. The second one's a little bit murkier waters, but I'm not going to say I'm completely against it. Here's where people get around that whole jersey thing and the image license thing, and I'm interested to see how this plays out. LSU can literally float out, and they do, that number 7 jersey. No, that's not Burt Jones. It's not Tyrann Mathieu. It's not Pat Peterson. It's not DJ Chark. It's not Grant Delpit. It's just the number 7. So then all of a sudden, how do you address that? But I do think if there's a jersey number and a name that's on the back, there's no question that Joe Burrow, in this case, again, should get a percentage cut of that. So the autographs thing, that gets weird for me again, because then that opens up avenues for brother-in-laws and backyard deals to be done. Hey, come sign this, and here's how much we're going to say you get per autograph, and then it's all going to come to you underneath the table. So that feels like it puts you back in the path of unsavory types, but maybe I am completely underestimating the slimy underbelly that is the autograph world.
Yeah, and maybe we move towards that one day, where because they don't do it now, but if we're going diving deep into it, then maybe, you know, you go into the gift shop one day and the jersey says Burrow on the back, or says, you know, whoever on the back while they're still in college. We'll see. Then we're kind of going out of order here, but this one must be fit in. Are they, who's on the side, and are you on the side, or can you see the side of, we're fine, they're getting enough, and not just tuition, but room and board and free food and free books and free medical care for any time you ever get injured. Don't worry about it. We've got you covered. We're flying you charter to every game, or, you know, we're getting you to every game. You've got unlimited access to everything you would need. You get a monthly stipend in cash to pay whatever, your energy bill, and go out and, you know, have fun, go to the movies, buy some golf clubs, fix your ATV, whatever you do. Do we need to mess with it? Is it fine right now? Are we taking advantage of anybody?
This is where it gets tough, because I understand the old guard that says, hey, they are getting everything that you just listed, Shay. And here's the thing. even since that old guard was shouting that rhetoric off the rooftop, we've added, like you mentioned, the stipend, right, the cost of attendance. And that came up in this neck of the woods when Billy Napier and company strongly encouraged, at first I think the word was mandate, but they strongly encouraged their players to donate at least $50 toward the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. And I had a lot of people tell me that are very close to collegiate athletics, Ben, when you really break down the numbers of how much money these kids get in the modern era with the cost of attendance, they've got more disposable income than a lot of people imagine. This isn't 2000. This isn't even 2015. It's a different day. So what I would tell you, Shay, is we have taken steps in the right direction. That being said, where I personally stand, I think they deserve more than what they're currently getting. But in no way, shape, or form, in my opinion, should this thing ever be carte blanche. And don't give me the argument that tennis players and soccer players and gymnasts, they have the opportunity to get their endorsements at 14 and 15 because their sports generates studs younger and the window to play is just, it skews younger. I don't think that applies here. You can't let this be carte blanche in the Wild West because you can't have not just advertising entities, you can't have unsavory types hooking up deals with the third-string safety at LSU because he goes to a power high school, and if you give him a lot of money, maybe his younger brother comes. Maybe the next cat comes. It can't be completely unfettered, but I think they probably deserve a little more than they're getting now. And then maybe, just maybe selfishly, Shay, if they do this, we will all be playing EA Sports College Football sometime before the year 2030.
Well, that's the first thing they have to bring back, right, is immediately that. That makes the most sense. Just give everybody $500 and we're using your stuff on the game, whatever it might be. And this is a deep question. You don't have to go forever because we don't have forever. And but is there a worry, and let's say the NFL, they get it, right? Like Drew Brees makes infinitely more money than the starting right guard or whoever, you know, whatever situation you're in. But if it's, let's use the Burrow example. If it's LSU, if LSU's starting quarterback is making 30 to 50 grand off endorsement deals at local dealerships or whatever, and it's legal in a year, does it cause dissension in the ranks? I'm not even talking about other sports, but does the, you know, right guard on the team who says, well, I start in every game too, I protect him, I go to every practice, I go to every film study, I'm not marketable, so where does that leave me? Is that sort of an unintended consequence that you kind of have to worry about when you're moving into amateur sports?
I see it as being almost a negligible consequence. I see it as very little consequence, if anything. And you know better than me, Shay, because of how often you've covered recruiting and at high levels, even at kind of mid-major type levels. So many of these kids think that they are going to play NFL football one day. When they're in high school, they think that way. All right, big boy, you get to college, you play right guard, and your quarterback makes more than you. Get used to it if, again, you want to play in the NFL. Now, the other side of that, which I think warrants a little bit of discussion, how often do we hear the stories about the starting quarterback taking his offensive line out for dinner, buying them Rolexes? So suddenly, again, everything you would think is to scale. I think there are opportunities for some of these star players, the ones that are making more scratch, to not necessarily give back Robin Hood style, but I think they've got an opportunity to show their love and kind of operate a lot like the NFL does. So if you're moving out of amateurism and taking a step into professional waters, you've got to be able to deal with some of this. I know we're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds, but if they think they're going to be pros when they're 16, well, they better get used to it when they are in that age range.
And this one, last one for you, and I think it circle back to kind of just the understanding of amateurism versus professionalism. And we'll think of the big three here, sports. In basketball, these guys, what? If they're one and done, they know that, hey, I'm on campus 8 months. I'm really just going to kind of craft my game, put some more tape out there, up my stock. But I know that I'm a lottery pick or that I'm going in the first couple of rounds or that I'm coming out and not going to college long. And the other sports are stuck, right? They're in it for at least a few years. So will there ever be a revisit? And where are you at? Should football and baseball be more like basketball? Should basketball be more like football and baseball, or should there be no real rules? Should you be able to go to college, and whenever I want to turn pro, I get to turn pro?
Well, I don't have a lot of time left in the segment, but I'll tell you quickly, that's not always up to the NCAA. The NBA is pushing this one-and-done rule down the college basketball world's throat. And so you have to contend with that, that this isn't always at your mercy. If just because you're the governing organization of intercollegiate sports, the professional league gets to dictate their terms. You got to be 19. You got to be 1 year removed from high school, 3 years removed. So you're always going to have to kind of be in compliance with that. That's one thing I'd mention here.
It's interesting stuff. We're going to have to revisit this all later because I see that now Florida, legislators are trying to push bills through. I think that this is going to, as quickly as we saw all the transfer portal stuff happen, Ben, I'm wondering how quickly this stuff happens with. And I know it's California says 2023 is when it'll begin, but how many other people line up to kind of get on board with that? Hey, in a few years, let's be doing the same thing.
I told you, we had a lot of fun with that. Shay's questions, my answers. I hardly ever get a chance to be a guest anymore doing Sports Talk Radio. That's the reason we invented Flip the Script. And so those are my thoughts on where we're at. The governor of California, he has set, I think, a ball rolling, and it's only going to get bigger, like a snowball going downhill will. Is it a good thing? In some ways, yes. Can it get out of control? Oh, yeah, it absolutely can. So hope you enjoyed that. Hope you've enjoyed all of our guests so far in the three-hour tour of B2BS. Katie Turner made her program debut in the 4 o'clock hour. The director of on-campus recruiting for UL, Raging Cajuns football. She was dynamite, as was Gordy Rush. He was with us from Biloxi, Mississippi. That was in the 5 o'clock hour. Gordy, of course, the LSU football sideline reporter. And then Blaine Viator earlier this hour. Area MVPs for prep football in Acadiana. This has been fun. If you missed any or all those interviews, they'll be available for you at 1037thegame.com. Just click or tap on demand. It is going to be on tonight. We've got great football on the other side. We'll be sending you out to the home of, well, everything coffee, everything Nirvana, maybe everything Plaid. We're going to Seattle, Washington. Big NFC showdown. It's Rams at Seahawks, and you'll catch it next. For Clint, I'm Ben, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.